Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married
sweetheart. For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? He's actually dropping out. Good grief. I'm going to miss that guy. I think New York City, if you listened to Brian Kilmeade earlier today, New York City was hoping to miss the guy. They wanted him to become the president so he could stop being the mayor of New York City. That's when things are bad, folks. That's not what you need. It's not good for you. Happy Friday. I'm excited that is Friday. I hope you're excited as well. If you're out grabbing lunch right now, or if you've got us along at the office or at home in your car, we appreciate you being there. Make sure you take us with you at radio.com on your phone or on your computer. And today's going to be an interesting day. I've got Gabe Pfeiffer in studio.
Hey.
He's just been sitting around the studio all morning waiting for his time to... Waiting for the show to start.
You're early.
Yeah. I asked him to come in early because today's a little crazy.
Yes.
Katie is not here today.
Yeah, and that throws everything into chaos.
I think I've maybe done a show without Katie.
Oh my gosh.
Because there have been times where we have had days that we decided to take at the same time. I've decided to take a day off. And she's like, you know what? I think I'm going to use that day too or whatever.
Right.
So Katie's gone. So Frank is here. And Frank is in studio with us today.
I was on time.
You were on time. You've been working very diligently and very
Frank
hard
is awesome.
All morning.
Yes.
Yeah. But fortunately, it's a Friday, which is one of our most fun days of the week, and we like to celebrate that here. And in true Friday fashion, Donald Trump decides to speak at the White House right before the show starts, and you haven't been able to hear that yet. So we're going to bring you into the White House. He was with the Australian Prime Minister, but as soon as they went to questioning, and this just happened moments ago, the president addressed a lot of things. He addressed China. He addressed Iran. He addressed sanctions in Iran and how that's going to continue moving on. He addressed some of his, I think, his latest appointments that he has made. So we're going to listen in right now and list this just happened in the White House from the president.
Go ahead, please.
Mr. President, you've been negotiating with the Chinese, and there seems to be a possibility in terms of a China trade deal that they might actually offer some agricultural purchases. Is that going to be enough for you, sir,
no.
In order to get a deal done? What do you need to see at this point to get that deal past the finish line?
We're looking for a complete deal. I'm not looking for a partial deal. China has been starting to buy our agricultural product, if you noticed, over the last week, and actually some very big purchases. But that's not what I'm looking for. We're looking for the big deal. We've taken it to this level. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars of tariffs. China's devalued their currency, and they're putting out a lot of money into their economy. And they have a very bad economy right now, and I don't want them to have a bad economy, but it's the worst in, they say, 57 years. 2 weeks ago, it was the worst in 22 years. Now it's 57 years, and it's only going to get worse. Their supply chain is being broken up very badly, and companies are leaving because they can't pay the 25, soon to go to 30% tariff. And we have 30% very shortly on $250 billion. We have another tariff at a slightly smaller number, as you know, on about $300 billion worth of goods and products. So they would like to do something. As you know, we're talking a little bit this week, talking a lot next week, and then top people are going to be speaking the week following. But I'm not looking for a partial deal. I'm looking for a complete deal.
Do you feel you need that deal before the election, sir?
No, I don't think I need it before the election. I think people know that we're doing a great job. I've rebuilt the military. Scott and I were talking about that. We spent $1.5 trillion. When I came in, our military was depleted. Frankly, we didn't have ammunition, okay? But our military was in very bad shape. We've rebuilt the military. We've got one of the strongest economies. Mike Pence actually got some, who's right here, a great vice president. He was talking yesterday and he called me. He says, boy, these numbers, these consumer numbers are incredible. The retail numbers that came out 2 days ago that really weren't reported were really, I mean, just incredible numbers. You know that very well. That's your world. And some other numbers. We're doing very well. Our economy is very strong. And China is being affected very badly. We're not. We're not being affected. In fact, we're taking in many billions of dollars. And China's eating that. You know, China's eating the tariffs because of the devaluation. Now, that doesn't happen with all countries. China's China. And they know what they're doing as well as anybody. My relationship with President Xi is a very amazing one, very good one. But we have right now a little spat. But I think we're doing very well. Our country is doing well. You look at so many different things. Look at all of the regulation cutting that allows us to do what we did. Look at what happens 3 days ago where you have an attack like that and it takes out a big chunk of oil and the price goes up $4, $5, and now it's heading down rapidly. That tells you that would have happened years ago. It would have gone up $50. It would have doubled. And this was a blip. So it's been really amazing what we've been able to do. I think the voters understand that. I don't think it has any impact on the election. Now, if something happened, I think that would probably be a positive for the election, but that's okay. I do think signing USMCA on a bipartisan basis with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and everybody else, very bipartisan, I think that's very important for our country. And I would certainly be willing to say that's a bipartisan deal. But I think that's very important for our manufacturers, for our farmers, even for unions, they want that deal done. And so hopefully that's going to be put up to a vote very soon. There'll be very little cajoling of the Democrats because most Democrats wanted to. But the USMCA is ready to be voted on. It's finished. Mexico has taken their final votes. Canada is willing to do that anytime we want them to. They're all set to go. And we need that for all of the, we need that for our country. It's a great deal. It's a great deal. Thank you.
And for the Prime Minister, sir, your economy is to some degree caught in the cross currents between the United States and China. What did you say to the President about what your ideal outcome is here for a China trade agreement between the United States and China?
Well, thank you. Look, obviously, we're keen to see the United States and China be able to come to an agreement. But what is always necessary is deals have got to be fair. Deals have got to be good deals. Deals have got to be sustainable deals. And I think one of the things we've seen, Australia has benefited greatly from the economic growth of China. We have a comprehensive strategic partnership with China and a free trade agreement with China. And they have grown and they have become, you know, a substantive economy in the world. And once you sort of get into that level, then you need to be able to be playing to the same rules of as those other developed nations. And I think this is, you know, the new generation of deals I think we'll see China do, which the President has been working on, and he's been working on it for some time, and we wish him well in that process. There are some real serious issues that have to be addressed in that deal. Things like intellectual property, that's a big issue, and it needs to be addressed. So we look forward to them achieving it, and that providing, I think, the broader certainty and stability to the global economy, which all nations will benefit from.
And we could do, Scott, a very big deal with China, and it could go very quickly, as you know, but it wouldn't be the appropriate deal. Mm. We have to do it right. And it's a very complicated deal with intellectual property protection. We have to do that and other things. I could leave lots out and have a deal very quickly, but we want to do it right. Please.
Yeah, sure. Andrew.
I assume Andrew is a nice person.
That's why you chose Mr. Him. President, the best. Thank you very much for hosting us. Also on China and tariffs, what do you say to Australian businesses and to Australian people who say that your trade war with President Xi threatens their prosperity? And to the Prime Minister, a linked question, do you think that Australians are going to be collateral damage in President Trump's tariff war with China?
Well, first of all, you know, I look at numbers. I love numbers, and the numbers of Australia are doing incredibly well. You're doing unbelievably well. When we have a deal with China or not, but when we have a deal with China, because they want to make it perhaps more than I want to make it, because I actually love all that billions of dollars that's pouring into our treasury, billions and billions of dollars. We've never seen that before from China. It's always been the other way. But when, and I'm taking care of our farmers out of that. We're helping our farmers. Our farmers were targeted, and they were targeted for $16 billion, and I made that up to them. We paid them the $16 billion that had tens of billions of dollars left over. So I will say, though, that Australia is doing very well. If we do end up doing a deal, Australia will do even better. And we were discussing that, but Australia will be one of the big beneficiaries of a deal. And in the meantime, as you know, I did tariff relief with respect to a certain product in particular coming out of Australia. And that's something that we wouldn't do for anybody else. This has been a truly great ally, and we work very well together. But your numbers are absolutely fantastic. Your economy is strong like ours. And I think we're two real examples of two countries doing extremely well. Some countries aren't doing so well. That's Europe true. Is not doing well. Asia is not doing. Large parts of Asia are not doing well. China is not doing well. Mm. Please.
Thanks. Mr. President, Australia is in its 29th year of consecutive economic growth, which is an extraordinary national achievement. And we will continue to grow as our most recent national accounts demonstrated. Australia is also very used to dealing with a complex and changing world, and that's why we're diversifying our trade base and have been doing that for many years. I mean, 6 years ago, when our government came to office, 27% of our trade was covered by agreements around the world. That figure is now 70%, and we're going to take that to 90%. And that's important, and that's opening up opportunities. So there are ebbs and flows that go in the global economy, and Australia has built up a resilience through the broad-based nature in which we're taking our economy to the world. I mean, Australia has never got rich selling things to itself, and we've always had an outward-looking perspective when it comes to engaging our economic opportunities. And a big part of what we've been discussing here is some new opportunities, whether it's in the rare earths, the critical minerals, the frontier technologies, space. You know, this is where jobs are going to be in the future as well. And so we will deal with those ebbs and flows as they come, but the President's right. The arrangement they will come to, and I'm confident they will, with China will be one that will set, you know, a new bar in terms of how China's economy then deals with a lot of these complicated issues in the future with developed economies like Australia. So we look on with interest, and I think ultimately when we arrive at that point, it's going to put global trade on a stronger footing.
That's a really interesting perspective there from the Australian Prime Minister. First of all, do you know how much I love Australia? My grandma's from Australia. I am a quarter Australian, people. That's really cool, right?
That is so cool.
It's the coolest thing about me. Sorry to disappoint. This is as good as it gets.
The only thing that would be cooler is if you actually had an Australian accent sort of back in your repertoire.
You know what's really interesting is my grandmother passed away in 2002, and she had a thick Australian accent. She didn't say R's the way we say R's, but
she
and she would say certain words in Australia are different than the words that we use for things here, certainly. And when after she, I think she maybe died from her fourth stroke, but her second one, she had her physical abilities about her, but her mind was a little bit affected.
Right.
She left Australia when I think she was 18 years old because she married my grandpa, who was fighting in World War II, stationed in the Pacific Theater. Got married 2 months later, got on a ship, and moved to St. Louis, which is what everybody did.
America.
America. She comes here. So she was here, I think, by the time before she was 19, possibly, when she had her stroke, after her second stroke, and her mind was affected by it, she started using the Australian words for things again. She didn't realize it.
Oh, wow.
Cookies were biscuits. That's what I remember.
Yes, exactly.
I remember that very specifically. Love my grandma dearly. I have a very soft spot in my heart for Australia. And that's like a retirement goal of mine, is to be able to go. From what I understand, if you're going to go to Australia, the difference in time zones, because it's like flip-flop from where we are, you need enough time to get there and actually reverse your sleeping habits in order to enjoy it.
Yes.
So someday I'll go there for a few months and just check out all of the places where I'm from. Because I'm from Australia!
You'll be there to christen Disney World Australia.
Sign me up! Is that happening? Yes, it's happening. Disney Australia. I love it. All right, well, Gabe Pfeiffer in studio with us today. Frank kicked Katie out of here and told her to go on a boat in Lake the Ozarks at a bachelorette party. And so he's helping us in here. And we're going to have Tony Colombo later in the show. We're going to have Rob Kramer in the show, which is where we all hold on tight and wait and see what happens. You're going to want to see that. It's going to happen at 2 o'clock. Lots to talk about. Dinesh D'Souza at 12:40 on the show. And we'll get to the highlights when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
She was the roughest, toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Hidey, hidey,
how much hidey, hidey, of St. Louis is responding to Cab Calloway right now? I hope many of you.
My heart is singing with him right now. This is so good.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I had the old recorded version in our archives before, and it's good, and it was still Cab Calloway, but it's not Blues Brothers Cab Calloway.
Right.
So we tweaked it.
All right.
And that is our gift to you this Friday, among others, like Dinesh D'Souza, who's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. So stick around for that. Very interesting conversation.
Another cool character.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Have you seen his Death of a Nation?
I still haven't. It's Gabe? On my to-do list. It is.
Is your name Gabriel? Really
is.
It is.
It is.
Gabriel?
Yes.
What's your middle name?
Yes, Mom. St. John.
Is St. John?
Is literally St. John. So when I say St. John the Philosopher, that is me.
Oh, on YouTube.
Yes.
That's Gabe's YouTube channel. People hear Gabe all over the station at random times. We acquired him through discussions with our friend Tony Colombo.
Yes. Tony's basically my agent.
Yes.
Who did we trade?
We're not allowed to talk about that yet. The trading deadline has not hit.
Right. There you go.
But Gabe goes to church with Tony, right?
Yep. That's
Is that how you know each other?
Yes.
So Gabe and Tony go to church together. Gabe is an astrophysicist?
An aerospace engineer or a rocket scientist.
Is astrophysicist below you?
No.
I mean, you're already in the realm of, I have no idea.
They're in the theoretical realm and I'm in the application realm.
Sure.
So, they say, hey, look, a star. And I'm like, okay, we'll send something to it.
Here is what you need to know. Dude is smart. Dude is MIT smart. But a very interesting collection of identity politic boxes that you could put.
Checking all of them.
Yes, Gabe in. And ironically,
I currently identify as whatever is the flavor of the day. I'm kidding.
You've chosen to put yourself in the boxes that you want to be in, not what everybody else would put you in.
Yes.
And you like to talk about it. And you do that on your YouTube channel.
I do. And I'm, you know, like Annie was saying, I'm a bunch of interesting things. I'm a black conservative and Christian rocket scientist. And I think those are kind of the most interesting ones because, you know, the two pairs, according to society, shouldn't go together. Black conservative or Christian rocket scientist. You know, so, you know, science and religion don't mix. Black people and conservatism doesn't mix. So, but I'm all of those things, so I always find that interesting place to come from.
Sure.
And I comment on religion, culture, and politics on my channel, and you know, I don't make as many videos as I would like, just because I have a day job that takes 60 hours a week. But you know, it's really fun. I really enjoy doing it. I think everybody will love my, you know, they're like 10-minute videos. You can watch a 10-minute video. Come on.
Absolutely. So check them out on YouTube. You can also watch our show right now live on YouTube at the FM News Talk 97.1 YouTube page. We'll probably change that to 97.1 FM Talk. But until then, you have to search FM News Talk 97.1 to watch us live right now on the webcam.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
So while Tony is attending to other things, I'm going to report now on this controversy over the Trump phone call. It centers around Ukraine as president decries partisan complaint. Yesterday, somebody criticized me for not talking about this. I'm like, the story broke in the middle of the show. And here's what I know. CNN thinks this is the biggest deal ever. And Trump is like, this is ridiculously fake news, which is virtually every news story that exists anywhere. So yes. Give me a hot second while I research this right. Before I say that the sky is falling or conversely, that this is no big deal.
Right.
So the developing controversy over a mysterious phone conversation Trump had with a foreign leader apparently centers on Ukraine as the president and his allies fight back and claim the uproar is just another, quote, partisan plot against him. What touched off the controversy is a secret whistleblower complaint that the Director of National Intelligence has kept from Congress, reportedly involving a, quote, promise that Trump made to an unnamed foreign leader. In the latest development, the Washington Post and the New York Times reported Thursday that the complaint relates to Ukraine. Fox News has not confirmed the reports. Trump's attorney, Giuliani, seemed to acknowledge some effort to pressure Ukraine to investigate potential corruption related to the Biden family, though he gave conflicting answers on the matter in a CNN interview overnight. It remains unclear what the supposed, quote, promise from Trump entailed. So we'll continue to follow this story. We'll see if it is something that we should all be very, very worried about. The president says, strange that with so many other people hearing or knowing of the perfectly fine and respectful conversation that they would not have come up forward. Also, do you know the reason why they did not? Because there was nothing said wrong. It was pitch perfect. That's from the president, as reported by Fox News.
Good movie series. There's been lots of turnover in the city prosecutor's office. STL Today reports a 100% change in the prosecutors working in that office since Kim Gardner won her circuit attorney's race 2.5 years ago and took over in January of 2017. 65 prosecutors have either quit or been fired since that date. Gardner declined to comment on the state of the office to STL Today.
Jeez. Okay, and now this story is right up my alley, coming out of CNN politics here.
Gabe goes, have you guys talked about UFOs? I'm like, nope.
Wait, what?
Take it away.
Yes, the U.S. Navy just confirmed these UFO videos are the real deal. CNN reports that the U.S. Navy has finally acknowledged that footage purported to show UFOs hurtling through the air. And while officials said they don't know what the objects are,
they're unidentified?
Exactly. Right. They're not indulging any hints either. So take it easy, guys. We're not in the middle of the alien invasion from Independence Day yet. The objects seen in three clips of declassified military footage are unidentified aerial phenomena. Navy spokesman Joe Gardisher confirmed, and the clips released in December 2017 and March 2018 show these oblong objects moving at tremendous speeds, to the point where their sensors couldn't lock onto them anymore.
Oh, boy.
Figments of imagination, folks. The Cardinals picked up their first win at Wrigley Field this season, the 5-4 victory last night. In 10 innings, they took a 4-1 lead into the bottom of the ninth, but Carlos Martinez just wasn't sharp. He walked the leadoff batter, allowed three runs, sending the game to that extra frame. Matt Carpenter drilled a one-out solo home run to center field that proved to be the game winner. The magic number is 7.
Magic number 7. 3 more games with the Chicago Cubs now, and then 3 more games with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
Couldn't get much more exciting than
this. I watched that one last night. It was
Did you watch the whole thing, or did you watch just the end?
I watched about from the 6th inning on.
Yeah, I was actually able to sit down and watch most of the game, maybe from like the 3rd inning on, while I was doing some other things, but paid more attention last night. And it was fun to watch that game because it felt like the Cardinals were in control the whole time. Like, the Cardinals put themselves in an opportunity to succeed. Mm-hmm. They added
Flaherty
on a run.
Was great.
I know.
Oh, 118 pitches or so there, 8 innings of work.
And then Carlos Martinez came in and was like, okay, yeah, I remember this feeling. I remember this feeling very, very
just
well.
Out there sweating.
Yeah. But they pulled it off, which is exciting.
Yes.
I said this earlier, and I want to reiterate it once again. St. Louis here recently has been used to not making the playoffs. This is a really fun team to watch. I'm wearing my Cardinal baby blue, giveaway. Thank you, Bear, from some game I went to. Took it out of the package this morning and put on red lipstick and went to work.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, or watch the live stream. web stream at 971talk.com/Annie. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. I am so happy the weekend is here and it is beautiful. And Cardinals are in first place and hopefully going to be even more so here as we move through the weekend. So thank you for keeping us with you. If you're out for lunch and you're headed back to the office, take us with you on your computer. You can stream us live at 971talk.com/Annie. Check it out. Yesterday we talked with Dinesh D'Souza. We've got Gabe Pfeiffer in the studio with us right now. Frank is in here too, taking over Katie's spot while Katie's at a bachelorette party. I gave her some basic restrictions about what she needed to not do so she would be back here Monday.
Right.
I said, do not fall off the boat.
Yeah.
So
clearly,
we will have Katie back on Monday. Hope she has a fantastic time while she is celebrating her good friend, best friend's wedding as it is approaching. But yesterday, we talked to Dinesh D'Souza about a lot of the stories that are coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Gabe is going to weigh in on some of these issues. Is there anything going on right now that you'd like to weigh in on?
Not in particular.
No.
Everything's trash right now.
So let's talk about UFOs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dinesh and I had a great conversation yesterday in the 2 o'clock hour, so I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to hear it. Here it is. Very excited to have our next guest on the show. Dinesh D'Souza, award-winning filmmaker of Death of a Nation, joins us now. Dinesh, so great to have you on the show today.
Hey, great to be on the show.
So when you hear Chuck Schumer say that he never thought Kavanaugh should be on the bench and he still doesn't today, you can't be too terribly surprised by that statement, right?
Not at all. But I think what should surprise us is the kind of ruthless willingness of these characters to seize upon dubious reasons to try to yank this man off the bench. In fact, it kind of mirrors what they've been trying to do to Trump. I mean, I'm sure Schumer didn't like the outcome of the 2016 presidential election either, but it's one thing to say I don't like the outcome, and another thing to say, look, I'm going to use all these nefarious and underhanded schemes to try to undo something that was actually done lawfully through the democratic process.
You know, I've watched Death of a Nation, and I just think it's absolutely must-view video documentary that you've put together that when I'm watching your film, and I've watched it many times, I have to, like, pause it and sit and soak it in because there's so much information that just makes so much so clear for Americans who are watching this, and it feels as though Republicans live in a different reality than Democrats do. And one of the things that you talk about in your movie Death of a Nation, also in your books The Big Lie, among others, is how that's kind of purposeful, that there is kind of a thought control that goes on with far-left progressivism to control words, our vocabulary, the way we consume information. It's a very purposeful thing.
Yes, we have, through the media, an effort to establish conformity in the way that we think and speak now. And then we have, through academia, the academic left, the progressive left in academia, an attempt to establish conformity, a kind of preferred narrative of American history. Now, that's a very distorted narrative. It camouflages all kinds of things. It hides all kinds of crimes perpetrated by the Democratic Party. So to give you, now take a small example. In 1860, this is the year before the Civil War, out of approximately 4 million slaves in America at the time, there were approximately 10 to maybe 50 that were not owned by Democrats. In other words, almost all the slaves in the United States on the eve of the Civil War were owned by one party and not the other. And yet this is all smudged over in the history books. In fact, to my knowledge, there's not a single textbook, there's not a single show on PBS or the History Channel that has ever divulged this simple, irrefutable fact. And so this is an illustration of how the left has pushed inconvenient truths under the carpet. They're not teaching them to young people at all.
Yeah, I think it's such an important reality to understand for people who are trying to watch the news and understand how you can just flip a channel and see something so impossibly different based on what sort of media you choose to consume. Another consistency that we see across the country, here we're in St. Louis, but in Baltimore, which was highlighted recently, even by the president, is the consistency in Democratic leadership. Democratic leadership that wins election after election and telling you what's going to happen if the other guy wins. If the Republican wins this race, then all of these bad things are going to happen. But the poverty-stricken areas run by these Democrats, it never changes over the course of decades, and the Democratic leadership holds. How do you explain that?
Well, I explain it sort of this way. While the Republicans emphasize a ladder of opportunity, the Democrats emphasize what can be called the rope. They're sort of like they're standing on a building, and they let down a rope, and they say to poor people and to minorities, hey, hang on to that rope. I'm going to pull you up to the top. And then they pull you up, but only halfway, and then they hold. And so suddenly you realize, wow, I'm too high from the ground to let go, because then down I'll go, and yet no one's actually elevating me out of poverty. I'm now completely dependent on these guys who are holding the rope. I'm beholden to them, and I sort of have no place to go. So there's a kind of learned helplessness that the Democrats have introduced among these, almost you can call them captive populations, and they are politically beneficial to the Democrats, although not a whole lot is done to relieve their condition.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a middle ground where they seem to be stuck, and neither side seems to be that appealing. I would say the president has done a lot with his economic policies, his deregulation of many things to try to do that one thing that raises all boats. The economy soaring the way it does right now, job availability, where employees are a hot commodity, and wage growth. Do you think that the economy under this president and the way that he has led this country in office for these 3 years might allow those people who live in lower income areas to see the benefits of what this president's administration has to offer?
Well, to a degree, yes. I do think that in some ways, certainly a rising tide is going to lift a lot of boats. But it's also true that there are these pockets in inner cities, not just in the black areas, but also in the Latino barrios, and there are white areas as well, where the problem is that you need a sort of package of ingredients to fix the problem. First of all, no businesses are going to locate in areas that have high crime rates and no security. So the irony is that you have the war against the cops and all this sort of stuff, and the cops will then retreat out of these terrible areas and sort of leave them be because if they go there, they're called racist, and so they don't go. And so as a result, these places become very dangerous. It's difficult for businesses to conduct business. So you need a combination of security and opportunity. And then, of course, training. You need education because, in some sense, what's the point of having all these jobs available if the young people graduating from school and sometimes college don't have the capacity to fill these jobs? They don't have the skills, the knowledge. So the education systems are broken down in these. So it's a kind of ecosystem, a dysfunctional ecosystem that the left has created and is kind of happy with because it delivers 90% of the vote into their pocket. So if Trump can figure out a way to break that cycle, the effect of it would be politically cataclysmic.
We're speaking with Dinesh D'Souza, the award-winning filmmaker of Death of a Nation, also an author of a whole bunch of must-read books. On Twitter at Dinesh D'Souza, I want to ask you about these Democratic candidates to win the nomination to take on Trump. The last debate, which I watched, they illustrated a bunch of problems facing the United States of America, ones that I think that in some cases you'd have Republicans agree on the problem, but the solution for these Democrats is always provided by government, and only if you elect these Democrats. For instance, Beto O'Rourke was saying that our country was founded on slavery in the 1600s, and I guess he's making the case that if you elect Beto O'Rourke in 2020, he's finally going to take care of this 400-year-old problem. I mean, what kind of arrogance and elitism exists when an entire party suggests that all of these problems can only be solved by the greatest thing this country has to offer, its government?
Well, first of all, there's a lot going on in this statement. Beto is probably picking up on the New York Times' so-called 1619 project, which is very cunning. Let's think of what they're trying to do. They're trying to basically say America from the root, from the beginning, was sort of founded on slavery and white supremacy. Now, in 1619, at best count, there were exactly 20 slaves in America. So the idea that they were somehow fundamental to the economy, you know, it's nonsense. So the great plantation system that sustained slavery in the United States was a product of the 19th century. It wasn't until Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin in 1793 that the cotton plantation system, if you will, began to explode. And interestingly, in the early 19th century, which is to say in the late 1820s, a new party was founded, a.k.a. the Democratic Party, to be the defender and apologist and sustainer of the plantation system. So, interestingly, what Beto O'Rourke and the New York Times are trying to do is shift the blame for slavery off of the Democratic Party, where it actually belongs, and to push it on to some, you know, the pilgrims in 1619, they're the true initiators of this. No, slavery exploded in the 19th century. That's when it became central to the Industrial Revolution and to the American economy. And so there's a cover-up going on here, a cover-up in the interest of the very party that poisoned the wells and is now pretending to show up as the water commissioner.
Yeah, it is very disconcerting and a true understanding that they don't feel that this country inherently is a great country, certainly that it needs to be remade. I want to ask you one last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Dinesh D'Souza. On the immigration issue, the president continues to push for a wall. He continues to push for immigration reform. I don't know that he's ever going to get that done congressionally, but you have a strong opinion on the immigration issue as an immigrant yourself, or from a family of immigrants. Do you think this president is going to be able to successfully convey his message on the need for immigration reform with the media pressure that he has that is constantly labeling him as the racist because of what he's trying to do?
Well, so the political move here is that what the left is trying to do is blur the distinction between the legal and the illegal. And they're doing this because they want to make it look like Trump is, quote, against Mexicans or against immigrants. Now, he's not against immigrants. His wife's an immigrant. But what he is against is illegals. Now, the point about the illegals is that the illegals are not only an affront to native-born Americans, they're not just breaking American laws, but they're ultimately cutting the line and depriving people like me or my family or people from India, where I was born, from their place in line. It's kind of like a family that comes into Disneyland, they get into the line for Space Mountain, and they cut the line. And you're like, hey, get out of the line, I'm in the line. So the point here is that, you know, if you're born in Bombay, you can't swim the Rio Grande or jump over a wall or a fence. You have to stand in a very long line. And so my point is, let's all get in line. If you want to change the immigration laws, do that. But the very idea that we have a Democratic Party that's a party of lawlessness, pretending, if you will, that illegals are the same as people who have come here lawfully through the lawful process, I mean, this is really outrageous.
It absolutely is. I'd encourage everybody to check out Death of a Nation. I have it downloaded on my Amazon. And I got to say, Dinesh, on my way home from Disney World this year, my kids were watching Disney movies on their tablets, and I was watching Death of a Nation. It was a nice cleanse between the fantasy of Disney World getting back into the real world. It's a wonderful film, and we really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the book, by the way, just out in paperback next week. So look for that as well. It's kind of a nice companion to the movie.
Yes, absolutely. Dinesh, great to speak with you. We look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you.
That was Dinesh D'Souza on with us yesterday, and a great conversation with him. Always great to have him on, at Dinesh D'Souza on Twitter. Go tell him thank you for coming on the show if you enjoyed that interview. When we come back in the 1 o'clock hour, Gabe Pfeiffer's in here with us. And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about these UFOs. One, because I'm genuinely interested in it. Two, because I saw some articles. Did you see the ones that had to do with Blink 182?
No. What was going on with that?
They shared some videos. Did you see that?
Oh, wait. Yeah. These are among the videos. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's weird stuff going on.
Guitarist for Blink 182 is somehow involved because he's a big
alien.
Well,
No.
Men in Black style?
Yeah. I don't know. It's my opinion. It's weird. We're going to talk to the rocket scientists in the house that we happen to have in here. So stick around for that. And also, Justin Trudeau has spoken up a little bit more. He is trying to atone for his sins. And Gabe, kind of interested in what you have to say about those. So stick around for that. Lots more Annie Fry Show on the way and Rob Kramer in the studio as well at 2 o'clock. So stick around with us. Facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. Radio.com to take us with you to stream us on your phone, on your computer. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.